Hello everyone, this is Paul Newman. This is our first attempt at making a podcast that can be used as Whitley Bay Baptist Church seeks to share in something together, even though we're apart. My prayer is that even in doing this exercise alone, we will be bound together by the Holy Spirit. Sunday the 22nd of March is Mother's Day. And I'm very aware that many of you have family plans that will have been disrupted by the social distancing guidelines. On Saturday, we hosted a wedding for the Bay Church where John Wigglesworth and Amy Coolbeck were married, but with the planned 120 guests reduced to 14, the couple, parents, groomsmen and bridesmaids. And of course, as of Friday evening, their reception was cancelled by their restaurant. Please pray for John and Amy at this time, who were remarkably happy given all the circumstances. Finally, in these introductory comments, can I remind you that today has been called to be a day of prayer across the nation, and we're invited to express our faith together in the Lord Jesus by placing a lighted candle in our windows at 7 o'clock this evening. That said, let us worship God together. The psalmist tells us, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." Let us pray. Gracious God, today is Mothering Sunday, when on this special day of thanksgiving for our mothers, we catch a glimpse through a mother's love for her child of your care for us. The care and devotion you show to all your children, which makes you as much our mother as our father. Lord, for the intensity of your love, we praise you. Instructing, feeding, clothing, guiding, nurturing, you carefully lead us toward maturity. You comfort us in times of distress, reassure us in times of uncertainty, encourage us in times of challenge, tend us in times of sickness, and are always there to lift us up and set us on our feet again when we fall. As a mother protects her children, so you watch over us day by day, alert to danger, keeping us from harm. And as the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, you willingly sacrifice yourself that we might have life. Your arms constantly encircle us. Your hand delivers us from evil. But we, human to the core, so easily take that love for granted, failing to express our thanks in the way we live, the way we think, and the way we speak. As we recall all you have done for us in freely giving us salvation, so we become more aware of our selfish sinfulness and our need of your forgiveness, that you do not hesitate to give when we turn again to you. So even in the face of coronavirus, we worship you, gracious God, Father and Mother of us all, rejoicing today in the wonder of your love and the constancy of your care. Receive our joyful worship and heartfelt thanksgiving for the intensity of your love. Lord, we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your only Son. Amen. Throughout our series on fruitfulness on the front line, we have been basing our preaching on Paul's letter to the Colossians. And so we come to Colossians for the last time with a reading from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, through to chapter 3, verse 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belonged to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These things, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Amen. So we turn again to prayer. Firstly, remembering those on our own Whitley Bay Baptist Church prayer list, and then sharing in a general prayer written for the church in Ireland at this time, and which we can make our own. Let us pray. So today, loving God, we remember those we know and love who are going through difficult times just now. We pray for all those living with cancer and chronic illnesses and other underlying conditions that make them particularly vulnerable to COVID-19. We pray for all those who had expected to be sitting public examinations this summer, that they might know their anxieties regarding qualifications and college places lifted by recent decisions. And we pray for all those who work in schools and places of education. We pray for those children with particular needs whom they will continue to care for. Bless them all, we pray. We remember those who fear for their employment and income at this difficult time. Lord, protect them. We pray for those still battling the effects of the floodwaters across the UK, as the media forgets them in the light of more pressing stories. We lift David Lennox before you for a speedy recovery from extremely painful shingles. We remember those who, like Nan Kirkland and Joyce Thompson, are in residential accommodation or hospital and can no longer receive visits. We pray for Lucy and David Morrison as they prepare for the birth of their baby in Northern Ireland, and for Sarah Jane, Colin and Emma as they seek to support them. And at this time, we pray for all those who are expecting new birth and who are fearful for their children. Give them peace. We remember the Spears, the Shrubsoles, the Chilvers and the Dubasu families serving or about to serve in Guinibor II Hospital in Chad with BMS. We pray for Richard Sanderson of Children's Vision International, Bogota, Colombia, who is now unable to make his annual spring visit to the UK. We ask that he, Janine and all their co-leaders and the children they serve may know God's blessing and protection at this time. And we pray for the church leadership team and me as the pastor, who are seeking to navigate and lead the church through uncharted territory at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And then the prayer written for the church in Ireland. God of love, we the people of Whitley Bay Baptist Church turn to you with prayerful hearts and with confidence in your loving presence among us now and in every moment of our lives. We stand before you as a people of hope, trusting in your care and protection. May we be comforted by your love in these anxious times. Generous and merciful God, fill us with compassion and concern for others, young and old, that we may look after each other in these challenging times, especially those among us who are most vulnerable. May your example give us the courage to serve those in need, wherever they may be. Heal us of our fear. Healing God, bring healing to those who are sick with the coronavirus and be with their families and neighbours. We pray especially for those who are isolated, that they may know your love. Stay by our side in this time of uncertainty and sorrow. God of strength, accompany all those who serve us with such love and generosity in the medical profession and in all our healthcare facilities. We give thanks for their continued work in the service of people. We ask you to bless them, strengthen them, and guide them with your abundant goodness. God of wisdom, we ask you to guide our leaders, the Prime Minister and his ministers, the leaders in healthcare and scientific research, that they may make the right decisions for the well-being of all people. O God of creation and God of life, we place ourselves and our world in your protection and love. May your peace be with us and enfold us today, tomorrow, and during the time ahead. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us all to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. When we began our series about fruitfulness on the front line on the 26th of January, it was just around the time we were beginning to hear about a new disease, a coronavirus, causing great concern in the Hubei province of China. It quickly became clear quite how serious this was, though few foresaw how it would lead to the closure of shops, cafes, restaurants, theatres, workplaces, and even our places of worship. A total suspension of normality in our nation. We're aware that in the northeast the virus has hardly begun to take hold, but we know this is likely to follow soon, and that our already stretched NHS will be challenged to its limits in the months to come. It is likely that many of those we know and love will fall victim to the virus, and some may find themselves battling for their very lives. This is not the front line I had anticipated when I preached the first sermon about what our front lines might look like. Yet I now see how our weekly themes should have helped us for this crisis. Never before in our lifetimes has it been so important to model godly character by manifesting the fruit of the Spirit that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We must also heed the call to make good work as we serve other people, contribute to human flourishing, and wisely steward creation as we minister the practical grace and love of Christ to others. Kang San Tan, General Secretary of BMS World Mission, this week wrote that as Christians, we must never cross the road to avoid a neighbour who is hurting. Even when we face the danger that laid them low, we are called by Jesus to be the Good Samaritan who goes beyond what society deems normal to bless those in need. This does not mean, of course, that we should play fast and loose with the guidelines to prevent the spread of the virus through social distancing. Part of our modelling of godly character will happen through keeping those guidelines as well as we can. This will be part of our moulding the culture around us. On Friday morning, I put a note through the door of every house on Holystone Avenue from myself and Jill, inviting our neighbours to join together in a WhatsApp group so that we can be aware of who needs help and who can give it. For example, just getting food for people who are self-isolating. By tea time, over a third of the homes in the street had responded positively. I've no evangelistic strategy behind this. It just seemed the Christian thing to do. We will not be those who descend on Sainsbury's and Morrison's like a shoal of piranha on a slice of best steak, leaving the fruit and vegetable aisles totally depleted. We are called to be mouthpieces for truth and justice. If not, what right have we to attempt to be messengers of the gospel? So it is that we approach the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, where he says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." This is how we are to journey on in our Christian lives, and perhaps especially at times such as the one we're going to go through. This is how we are to journey on in our Christian lives, and perhaps especially at times such as the one we're going through now. Paul goes on from those verses to highlight the dangers of attractive but worldly philosophy and those who want to sell a message of Jesus plus. You need more than Jesus, you need to buy our brand and way of acting and thinking. It's a way that leads to being reassured by empty promises, reinforced by silly rituals that promise a false purity. How is it that good people who started the Christian way very well can end up there? Paul gives the answer in 2:19. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Or, as it puts it in the Passion Translation, they refuse to take hold of the true source. But we receive directly from him, and his life supplies vitality into every part of his body through the joining ligaments connecting us all as one. He is the divine head who guides his body and causes it to grow by the supernatural power of God. So the question is, are we prepared to follow the guidance given by James in chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, where he says, "So then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Feel the pain of your sin, be sorrowful and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning, and your joy into deep humiliation. Be willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you." If ever there was a time for getting serious with God, it is now. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're serious about you, and we simply ask that you let your love course through our veins. Let the goodness of Christ pulse through our bodies. Let the power of the Spirit flow through our souls. Let the wonder of God resonate through our minds. Glory be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and for all eternity. Amen.